Hey guys, welcome back to Fully Geeked Ladies, episode 16.
Mad, we're getting close to
Right?
20.
And as usual, I'm Sharifa and we have T and Paulina. Today we are going to cover Lovecraft Country, episode 5, our resident show. And we are going to cover Power, book 2, Ghost, episode 1 and 2. Who's excited about this power, power, power?
Mean, after episode one, I was. Episode two, not so much.
Let's save it. Let's save it.
Yeah, let's.
Okay, and we're going to get into a bit of what's happening. There's been a bit going on with John Boyega and the Britain's Got Talent outrage of diversity. And we'll go on to speak about the government's urging people to report, to snitch. I won't say report, to snitch. And then
You
we'll
know what
get
they
into some
say
other
about
stuff.
snitches, yeah? You know what they say about
Do you really want to
snitches?
say
According to Teresa, according to the
that?
streets, snitches get stitches, y'all.
Well, let's ask Tariq, innit? All right, let's pass it on to
Oh,
Tay.
same. Yeah, it's true. Hi, guys. Welcome to episode 16, as Sharif has already said, and we're going to get into love country. I always say love country craft. I think it sounds
Lovecraft
better that way,
Country.
but the actual
No,
show
but
is
it
called
is quite a
Lovecraft.
tongue
Tongue
tie.
twister. Yeah.
Lovecraft
So
Country.
episode five, the
Woo-wee.
change is gonna come. Strange change is gonna come. This week we see a lot of things. Before I even start, let me give credit to Sharifa because I know she's probably thinking ahead. Hey, these girls, they don't give me credit when I say things. So last week or the week before, and even I was going off camera. Well, yeah, off camera.
Behind the scenes, behind our
Behind the
scenes.
scenes, yeah, she's been predicting certain things on the show, and Paulina and I are like, no, nah, I don't think so. Anyway, some of those things came to fruition this episode. So let's give it up for
Well, nice
Miss
day. This one time,
Sharifa,
I will congrat. I will
director,
say, well done,
director
well done, well done.
Sharifa.
Just this one.
Anyway,
Thanks.
give credit where it's due, Paulina. We got to support, man.
I said
Support
just this once. Okay, she's not putting it
this
the
is
whole
what.
show. Let's finish it
Girl,
first, honey.
So this week we so episode four, we saw that Ruby had slept with William, and we all had if you had listened to last week's show, we were like, oh yeah, we all had different theories as to why he needed her and why they slept together. But it turns out that he slept with her, and she I don't even know how to describe it. She metamorphosized. She was this ladybird. Is it ladybird? No, it's not a ladybird. It's a caterpillar that changes into a butterfly, isn't it? So she
They were
kind
saying
of,
a different animal though.
they were saying locust. They were saying a
That's
locust. There's a swarm
it.
of locusts that are coming out of their shell and all this kind of stuff, blah, blah, blah. So when they said that, so basically he slept with Ruby. Ruby then has the power if she drinks some sort of blood, which I, can you give me credit? Because I did say he needed some sort of blood. I don't know whose blood it is, but can you not give me some
What? Some
credit?
sort of blood
It wasn't, it
to
was a potion. It
was a
wasn't
potion,
blood.
but it looked like
Yeah.
blood. Come on, just give me,
It
just
was a
let me
potion.
have
Let
that
have
one.
it. Go on. You can collect
Okay.
it. You can have it. You're okay.
Let me have it. Yay! So she drinks some potion, and then it allows her to become this white woman, or allows her to become a white woman, and she's able to experience the freedoms of living in a country where black people don't have the opportunity to do everything but white people do. And she's a woman as well, so she experiences everything that a white woman is able to do. And it was very, very scary for, and we'll talk about Ruby, and then we'll go on to the other segments of this episode, if that's okay. So for me personally, when I saw this woman, and she looks quite familiar, guys. I'm not sure
It's the
whether
lady from
you
the
agree or not.
farm. It's the lady with the two dogs from the farm.
Yes. Yes,
Oh,
tears.
yeah.
Well done. Because I was thinking, I've seen her face
So
before,
she
and I
must
love
have been a
them.
thing then too.
No, I think
No?
no. I think what they have done, that potion has a DNA in it. And
Oh,
they
okay.
probably use her
Yes.
DNA to make the
Her
white woman. So
DNA.
whoever drinks it, you're becoming that other person, if that makes sense.
Person. And I think Ruby, obviously Ruby hadn't been to what's that? Is it Arden? Is that the
Yeah, so
land?
she
That
knows
land
nothing
where they're,
about, she
she
knows
knows
nothing
nothing
about what
about it
Letitia and
exactly.
Emla have been up to.
Yeah. So hence why she was able, she didn't, it wasn't a shock. Well, obviously she was shocked, but she didn't see, recognize the face. Well done, Sharifa, for 10 points for paying attention. So I find it quite scary when she actually
metamorphosized
the first time. Yeah,
I didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't. I really didn't like it. I really didn't like the. I guess I got scared because it's just gore. It was just like, ugh.
And I found it so cool.
Can I ask? You're not into gore. Mm-hmm. Is that not your thing?
No, I don't mind. Like, do you know what? I am into gore, but I'm not into gore that is loosely or heavily tied with sort of horror.
Humans.
So although this was. I don't mind gore with humans. Although this wasn't horror or it wasn't like.
No, I said demons. Outright,
Demons, yeah, any of that.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't tied to any of that, it was just like,
it was weird, yeah.
I'm weird. I like gore. I like violent gore. So I like okay. Umbrella. Not so much. That's too violent. But I don't mind a crime scene. I don't mind a thriller, a crime film.
So psycho.
Yeah, psycho gore. I don't mind that. Yeah, you know, you're coming out of the, like when she was like coming out
I
of the
found
skin,
it
and,
cool.
and you saw from a
it was a bit cool. like, but I didn't mind it.
Yeah. From a CGI FI is it what's FX sort of point of view, it was good. I liked it. It was very ingenious, but I was like. Bleh. Like I literally, at one point, I'm going for it. Yeah,
I wanted to see the whole thing.
It was a bit much for the first time, but then as it was going on, I got used to it. Yeah,
the first time I was a bit like, ooh, but I wanted to see it. I was like, I want to see where. So I was
because as it was happening, the narrator was talking about the locusts and how they shed their skin, and that didn't he kill her as well? Which I thought was
yeah, we didn't see, but we didn't see that she.
Oh, he didn't kill her. He stabbed her, I guess, to get her out of
herself. Yeah, to open her up, but we didn't see how she came out of the shell or how she came out of the skin.
Yeah.
But if we're going to touch on Ruby, as we said, we'll continue talking about Ruby. It was almost like her coming of age, and I think we also discussed that last week, whereby she found some at first false power, because she was herself within this woman's body, and then she was using the woman's body to get everything to advantage, to get everything that she wanted. But then when she became this black woman, or when she was around people that were talking negatively about black people,
she was joining in.
She didn't really join in. She got upset, and she tried to defuse the situation by sticking up for the black people. But then she had to remember, actually, I'm a black woman in a white person's body. So I can't do too much, otherwise I'll be outed. Mm. And it was a bit, I kind of felt like, what's the word? She couldn't be herself fully when she came out of the shell, because she's already now experienced what it's like to be white, and she was tussling with.
She was enjoying it.
She was enjoying it. She started enjoying it, but then she really did like being black. But she couldn't enjoy the same things. I don't know what you...
She's conflicted because she wants to experience what it's like to be around and do normal things without judgment, but she also wants to be black because that's who she is. So she wasn't... Mm. Is it Catch 22 when you're like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Basically that's
I think
what it was.
I think she had a lot of insecurities generally, and you could see even when she spoke to... Was it Tamar or Tanya? The other black lady, Tamara. Yeah, you could tell that there was a lot of insecurities, because for her, she had done all the courses, she had done everything right by the book, but this girl hadn't done that much and had got the job. And for her, she just realized, crap, is it the way I look as a black woman? Is it because I'm a big black woman, or what is it? So I think there was a lot of insecurities. There was a lot of insecurities playing on her, as not just as a black woman, but as a woman in general. So I feel like her becoming that petite white woman that everyone thought was just so beautiful, at some point she loved it. You could tell she loved it. And but then when she realized about hearing things about black people, about seeing how black people treated, it affected her, because as you said, she was a black woman in a white person's body. And she realized she couldn't be that white woman, even though it helped her in her career. She couldn't be that woman, and I just love the message it showed.
Yeah.
You have to be very comfortable in your own skin, no matter what color you are, and that's what it represents. The whole morphing, the whole coming or shedding off your skin. It's like she was shedding off her insecurities. And I just loved seeing her at the end. Like, she was just like, this is me and I'm not going to change for anyone. I don't know if she's going to use the potion again. She may use it.
She almost threw it away, didn't she?
She did, but I feel like she will use it for benefits now, for the benefit of good now. But, because she knows what it could get her. And now she's going to be working alongside William. I feel like now she's this going to be, let's get them all. And she has kind of played into the cards of, into the heart of Ruby, as in to say, I'm here for the black people, I'm here for you. But Ruby doesn't realize there's other motives there. It's not just for the people.
I was going to say, I don't think that they will allow her to use it as freely as she was, now that she knows that she's William and this other lady. I don't think.
But you need to remember. Is that the case, though?
But then you need to remember.
I feel like, because they're trying to use her, I think, to get to her sister and what's the other guy's name? The boyfriend.
Tick. Who?
Yeah, I feel like they're using Ruby to get in that way, because Ruby and Tick aren't receptive to them. So this is a way of them doing it. And quick question, is Ruby the woman from Luther, the last season of Luther? Did you guys ever watch Luther?
Yeah, I did, but I don't remember.
Is she the other policewoman? I think she is, isn't it?
Might be.
I'm not sure.
I was watching it and I was trying to Google it.
I don't think that lady's working with the cult. I think she's working on her own. So I don't think, when you keep saying we, I don't think anyone's going to be using Ruby. I think it's literally a two-man job. That's why she needs Ruby. She needs Tick and
her dad?
But that's what I mean. Her dad's gone. So her trying to work for her dad, and her dad was really practically on his own.
What I'm saying is, in the group, her dad wanted Tick.
Talking about Samuel.
Yeah. Samuel wanted Tick. Then we don't know what's happened with him. But she was working with her dad, and she also knew the agendas of her dad. So why would she all of a sudden not be working or continuing the work of what he was doing, because he's not in the scene anymore?
But I think her agenda's now changed. I think she now wants to try and get her dad back, even though he turned to stone. We don't know. It's all magic, isn't it? Yeah. So we don't know whether he's dead or not. But I think her agenda is get my dad back, and then in the process of getting my dad back, seeing if I can open the Garden of Eden or get my hands on the Book of Adam.
That's what I think. I don't
think
they're working with a cult, because the dad really was trying to just do his own thing. He wasn't for the cult, and you could tell most of them weren't even happy about having the black people there generally. So I feel like now the police officer and them want to kind of overthrow her, because the dad's
don't forget,
not around.
She's a woman. Yeah, and she's a woman.
That's so why even she's using William.
If you think about where she was speaking to her dad, the way her dad was speaking to her, he was never really happy. But I don't think William, I don't think William's dead. I think William is still a person, because there's been points where Christina and William have been together at the same time.
Mm. I'm trying to remember. I really don't remember if I've seen
them together. They were together.
They were at the house. Beginning of the house, she brought them in, and he opened the door, and then she went somewhere, and then he went somewhere. So I think
unless it happens that quickly, transition.
Yeah, unless something must have happened between the time that day happened, and because remember, she said the police officer left him for dead. So it's either he's somewhere and just can't do anything. Yeah, he can't do anything. Maybe he's sick or something, and she's just put him in a magical coma. I don't know, or he is actually dead. And that's why she's probably trying to seek revenge. So it could be that he's alive, or B, he's actually dead.
He's actually dead.
But I think it's all been her, in terms of her and Ruby. It's all been her and her interactions with Ruby. But with Ruby,
what I was thinking when I was watching it, you know, like sometimes when you're at work and you have to put on this sort of facade.
You're professional.
I mean, we're professional as black people as it is, but some black people would be like, oh yes, good morning, how are you?
Phone voice,
And then you turn around and you say something like, something stupid like, oh, is that your new hairstyle? Or you always change your hair. And then all of a sudden you're like, listen, Ruby, those scenes when she was getting angry and she started fidgeting, it just reminded me of that. Someone saying something so negative or so, it's getting right up your skin that you have to come out. Like the proper blackness has to come out. Yeah. And I did find that quite funny, and I enjoyed it. Can we talk about, I guess the whole episode is about freedom. and like you said, Sharifa, expressing yourself and doing whatever. So when Christina was saying to her, what are you like when you're free? And then she went to the her boss and she
it wasn't hilarious, let me not say that, she raked him with it.
Would that really hurt? Because it was like a tiny yes, the way the forcefulness of it, yes, but the initial like of course
I was holding my bum. I was actually holding physically holding my bum when she was doing
of
that.
Of course, it would hurt because she was like going in, but I was like, come on, it would be that painful. But she was stabbing
him. You thought the shoe.
Because she was like, boom. But I understand what the forcefulness
of it. Oh, no, that would have hurt.
We could tar that ass up, but I know. But I mean, like, it would have been
It wasn't funny. It's not funny. But I was just like, what the hell? She tore the ass up.
Literally, honey.
No, but he was an ass, first of all.
But why is it always that the stereotype, but the white man wants to be with the black woman out of curiosity, but has to do it forcefully, and that annoys me because he doesn't have no respect, but it's just the time.
You need to remember it's the time as
I
well.
Know it just bugs
he's a
me
manager like, yeah. She should be the grateful black woman
she
that
shouldn't
has
be working
job.
There technically
yeah so he thought she should just be grateful to just do what he wanted. And obviously that's what angered Ruby to doing what she did, because he was practically going to rape her if he had the chance to. She just got away. So I think it was her way of saying, you want to feel like you're powerful over a black woman. I'll show you what a black woman can do. As the fact she was doing it as her skin was just shedding all over him. Yeah. I just thought, what was he thinking? Like, he turned around and saw a white woman going to a black woman.
I just wanted to see what a nigga would do to you. I want you to see that it was a nigga that did this to you. I was like,
with all white skins falling off, I was just like, what was he thinking at that point? Like, is it, he probably the pain do you make him even think
he would have been scared, because obviously he doesn't, I don't feel like other people know about the magic wand. I don't think it's like a Harry Potter
anyone.
Thing where everyone's a wizard.
Exactly.
No, but what I'm saying is
no,
not that. You know how like, okay, I don't know, you know where everyone's magical, Maleficent for example, and then you've got Harry Potter where it's secret world, you don't know
who's... You can't tell anyone, he's a
yeah,
muggle.
So yeah so I feel like to him so. He was like, he's probably going to kill himself because he's mentally scarred for life and physically scarred for life. And
no,
he
I don't
can't
think
tell
he's
anyone.
Gonna kill himself. I think it's gonna be more. No, I
he's
think more he's just not gonna. Oh, come
or
on.
Or he's gonna get revenge, like with like KKK people. I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think he's just not going to. He's just gonna drink himself to forget.
Stupidity. Yeah.
He's just
I also think that Ruby has got some sort of confidence now that I wouldn't be surprised that she's gonna walk into that store and ask for a job, and then the man's. Because of what's happened to him, and there might be something about her that he's scared of, so then he's just going to give her a job. Like he may not remember. There's something about her stature that he might look at and be like, "I know you from somewhere," but he can't pinpoint it. But he might end up giving her a job. I don't know. But that I think where I thought that was it episode 2 or was it episode 3? No, the ghost one was episode 3, right? With the ghost in the house.
The ghost like, to the ghost episode 3.
I think it was episode 3. I think this is Trump's episode 3. This was my favorite.
I liked this episode, yeah.
Yeah.
I just loved the meaning behind it. It was just silly. And I loved the music. Like it went
Cardi B's.
Yeah, it went from just being right music for that era to Cardi B to, and I was just like, okay, now we're getting used to the music. Like I'm getting used to it. And I look forward to hearing that odd music in the middle where I'm just like, oh, that's my time.
But it all fits in, even though the music's current. Yeah, it all fits in. So I really enjoyed watching that. Go on, Sharifa.
No, I was just going to say, moving on to the others, Tick, what did you guys think about Tick and Letitia's relationship? I like it. But at the same time, I feel like it's going to really hit a lot of hurdles.
I don't find it like a genuine relationship.
Really?
I feel like I do and I don't. Like they care about each other, but I don't feel like they're actually gonna be together. It's more of a
we're here for the moment.
Yeah, because it's always on the spot when they do things. It's never obviously there's no love story in this show to that degree. Mm-hmm. But there's no like I'm not feeling it. Like I could feel.
But you need to remember that Tick is obsessed with what's going on at the moment, so he's not focused much on that. She's obsessed with it at the moment, so I feel like they've not had that.
That's what I'm saying.
Take away from not thinking about this and actually get to really know.
But that's why, to me, it's like a misplaced relationship. They're just a physical thing. It's nothing more than what they're doing right now, because they're in the moment.
They're there to keep each other. Yeah, they're there to keep each other. They're there to keep each other company, rather than they're there to. They're not like, I guess their connection, they're only connected due to the fact that they both went on this adventure and they're in this house. But if they sat down and got in it and they met on normal circumstances, I think Letitia would have probably tried it, and Tick, being who he is, would be like, he probably would have had
the other way around for me.
No, but Letitia, no. Letitia had her eye on Tick when he came back, remember? She's like, who's this?
Yeah, but come on, she's a light-skinned woman and all that stuff. Nah. I don't think she would have other people, but that's what I think.
Yeah, but if she did, then she would have had them a long time ago. She was still a virgin, if we're going to stick to that theory of her being the light-skinned pretty lady. I think she would have been more into Tick than he's into her, because I feel like with Tick, he's got a lot of demons he needs to face. And as we've seen with the preview of what's happening next week, he has had this feeling it's happened before.
Mm.
And I just feel like with Letitia, as you guys have said, it is in the moment, but I feel like there is a deeper connection there. And I feel like,
I think they will grow to have a deeper connection. Yeah,
during time, it will get deeper and deeper and deeper, where they actually are more in love with each other. I could definitely see it working, and I'm here for it. I
hope so. I think they're cute. I think they're cute together, but I don't yet feel that it's believable. Chemistry. I don't feel like, oh my gosh, yes, the two of them are meant to be together like that. And I don't know whether, like you said, it's a chemistry or just how they are as actors. But for me, it's just like, okay, yeah. And I guess all shows have this love interest, this love thing going on, so again with them. Okay, I know it's 5 episodes in, but on both occasions where they've had sex, they have to have it standing up, and it was just like, okay, why can't you romantic?
I was expecting this one to be a bit more romantic, like when he lifted her up and they were moving towards the door. I was like,
small
touch, next small finger here, finger there, do whatever.
No,
but it was just a bang. I was like, oh,
and my girl's a virgin. Okay, well, that's she's what I'm not saying.
She's
anymore.
A bit too like what. Listen, for someone who's inexperienced, she's doing the most, honey. Struggle.
All her life, she's had to wait and struggle.
Yeah,
but you still don't know what you're doing then. Come on.
He's guiding her, innit?
And he's guiding
her. No, that's not guiding. That's just sitting on me. Yeah, let me carry you.
We keep saying virgin. We keep thinking like a virgin is someone that hasn't done anything at all. She may have done other stuff, so why wouldn't she be experienced? She may have read and looked at a lot of stuff. So
yeah, true.
There's not much to it. You just put it in. That's not much to it.
Okay. Sherry?
No, I'm just saying.
Are
you trying to say? Because, boy, there was no standing up. First time for me, I tell you that for sure.
Oh, do you want to say that?
Yeah. Oh god. But yeah, with them, I don't know. As you said, we'll see where it goes. We'll see.
Why do you think Tick was? We already knew. I think you know when Tick beat up his dad.
Yeah.
Do you think that was purely just because of what he did to that lady man thing, or was it
hermaphrodite?
That's what I was like. Huh?
But she wasn't human. So
but she said I'm neither male nor female. She said,
and she goes, I'm man, I'm female, I'm every something.
Oh right, yeah.
So she's practically hermaphrodite. She's a bit of
that was a lot. I wasn't expecting to see that, to be honest.
I know.
I was like, okay.
I did a double take. I was like, hey, you were. But do you think
he beat him up for that, or the fact that knows that he's gay? Because
he understood what he meant by when he said that the lady's gone, because
it was too much. He beat him up a lot.
I think his dad has always talked to him.
Pented up frustration.
He doesn't respect him. They finally got to a certain point, and now he's gone and killed them. So it's set them back again because of whatever issues he's got.
It's like the dad is taking control.
There's definitely more to it, but I think that will come out at some point because it's weird because the dad didn't even react. He didn't even defend himself. He just let him beat him up.
The thing is, I think you guys are reading a bit too much into it. I feel, for me
personally, I'm sorry for wrote the show.
No, I'm just saying, Tick has issues. He's already got a lot of issues, especially from his army days.
No, I'm saying it sarcastically.
I'm just saying, I feel like it's being read too much. He's that they both have issues. They both have a lot of underlying issues. And Tick has finally got control of something, and it seems as if the dad wants to control everything. The dad has killed a woman. Are you telling me that you won't be as angry as him? I know you're saying it was too much. The dad knew what he had done was wrong. He had not only gotten rid of the only lead, he'd killed the woman that could read the only lead.
Because he knows what's going on.
He's temperamental. So obviously he's pent up frustration. That. So he's attacked his dad. But once you start...
Yeah, but that was an extreme attack. But that wasn't like a slap.
If you think about it, think back, the sound that they were playing on that bit was very muffled. It's literally like he blacked out. Mm-hmm. So Letitia was screaming in the background. Everything was happening, but he just couldn't hear. He was just so angry that he was just going in. So I don't think it was, Paulina said, he knew his dad was gay or...
No, I didn't say that. I don't think it's about him with sexuality. Oh. Teresa said it. I was saying it's more that they've got underlying issues that is coming out in that moment.
It's part of it because it will be. That's part of some why the dad was how he was when he was young and how it affects how his relationship with the mum.
But it wouldn't make sense. Sorry.
Why wouldn't it make sense?
It would make sense why the dad is so angry.
Of course it does.
Like it would make sense if Tick was as angry as the dad because that's his dad and his dad's gay. But
his dad is angry with
him. His dad is angry, and Tick is like accepting of it to a degree. It's more that the relationship they've had as a child, the dad is how he's been, and it's put a strain on their relationship. So he's just frustrated with the way because he talks at him, he talks down to him, he's rude to him every time they interact. And then at some point that we saw last week is he acknowledged him for a bit, and then he's back to being a dick.
Right. But the show, part of the show is releasing who you are and being free. I kind of feel that. And your insecurities and who you pretend to be and who you want to be, right? That's what I got from this show. So for me, I might be really into it. I might be looking into it. I kind of felt that part of the dad's anger towards Tick is because the dad knows that Tick is not gay, clearly, and the dad knows that in the world that they live in, the gay is not. It wasn't accepting of being gay. So the dad could potentially, and this is what I read into it, could potentially be jealous of Tick that you can go out freely to love who he wants to love and do everything that he wants to do. But because the dad's gay, he has to pretend hence why Tick was born, because he had to sleep with a woman to prove that he's
not. So he
resents
him.
Tick
so
is kinda, the man he wants to be.
He's basically. A B, exactly.
Yeah, I thought that.
And so that's probably why the dad is angry. I then thought that Tick is angry at the dad for killing the lady, for killing the hermaphrodite, hence why he beat him up. But I also thought that everything else was flooding into Tick in terms of his relationship with the dad. Also for the fact, and I'm not sure from Lars and Sharifa, considering that you predicted everything right, you can correct me if I'm wrong here. When they were doing Indiana Jones, when the guy had said to Tick, do not see the relationship with your dad, not that Tick was surprised, but it was almost like I don't know whether Tick actually knew that his dad was actually gay. He may have had an inkling, but I don't know whether he knew.
Gay so part coming from heavily, because I feel like it's not really been a main factor other than this episode before. I hadn't seen that.
We discussed this last week.
That we've said that he's gay, but I'm saying between Tick and his dad, I don't remember.
That's my point.
Dad only came in episode 2. Sorry.
But my point is, in that time, being gay is not accepted. Is definitely not acceptable, right? So Tick has been living probably a hard life with his dad because his dad has got his own insecurities and he's probably jealous of Tick. Tick now is like now seeing, so you mistreated me all these years because you're probably jealous of me, or the fact that you mistreated my mum, or we don't even know the history or the dynamics between.
I think it's more that, yeah.
Tick's mum and Tick's dad, but that could come into play. And so all of that pent-up frustration, plus the fact that he killed this woman, is what made Tick beat up his dad. to the extremity that he did, because I just thought it was so, yeah, you'd be angry, but it was so, so extreme.
It was extreme, yeah. But then it might be revealed, possibly later, the actual relationship, because like you said, it was a bit left field the way he was beating him up, to be honest. So there's definitely something behind it. I agree with some points.
We'll see. What I did love is the dad's freedom. It was as if he just needed to excel, and just seeing him on the dance floor going round and round, like he just looked like my fellow drag queen. Like, it was just so deliberate to just see him just go, because it must be so frustrating to be who you are and want to be, but can't actually live your truth. It can actually be suffocating.
Exactly.
So just to see him just finally just accept himself for what he wants to, who he wants to be, was actually it was good for me to see. I really like that.
Why do you think that sex scene was so aggressive?
He was angry. He's you could tell, like, as soon as he got in,
he tore someone else's ass up in that scene.
He was already angry with the fact that the stuff
then
that
he went to then
son.
Give him head after.
He's not accepted what he is. There's a lot of frustration going on in there, so all he wanted to do was just go there and feel good. He didn't want to hug, he didn't want to do anything, so that's why he just turned him around and just said that's it. Like, he did not want to have any communication.
I was really put off when he spat first. I was like, there's no need to show us
this. It was almost like the period scene from
I hate spit.
That was phlegm from the back of his neck.
That was disgusting. Any form of spit, I can't. Even, you know, the stupid toothpaste adverts, I can't do it. So I did not appreciate seeing that.
Saliva,
but it was a lot.
Mm. It was a lot of saliva, and I watched it, and I was like, this is the male version of the bloody tampon and blood clot.
I may destroy you.
Nah. I was like, oh, okay. But again, with their lovemaking scene, it was so aggressive. It was like, I get you wanted to release the energy and just, you know, just take it out on
there's
somebody.
No tenderness in the show. That's what it is. Oh, it's just quick.
The only tender point, it was when he was on the dance floor, then he lifts him. I need to be free, and he lifts him, and I thought that was, I really loved that scene. It was so beautiful to watch. Like, I am now released, let me be free, everyone here is free. Let me just be free. And the lightness that you feel from being free, and it enables you to do everything that you want to do. I thought that was lovely. Mm-hmm. But when he got to the guy's house and he was literally just attacking him.
Boom, 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 boom.
I felt it, guys.
Toofy looks so offended. He looks so offended.
Boom, 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 boom.
For me, it's the saliva.
I don't really care. Aggressiveness, nothing, all of that
TMI,
didn't get me.
But I'm sure it's really stretched, so it wouldn't have hurt.
It wouldn't have been that painful.
He enjoyed it. That's
what I'm saying. Anyway. So it wasn't as traumatic for him.
That's where it got me, and I just couldn't.
The saliva was just like, no, come on. Yeah, I did not
saliva in any
that.
Form whatsoever, nah.
It's not
for me,
nah.
The aggressiveness wasn't anything that was just like, oh my gosh, so aggressive. I was just like, it's just two people wanted to.
Nah, it was a lot.
Don't want the tenderness. That's just what it was. There was nothing else to it.
Whatever floats anyone's boat, I guess.
It's not always just romantic and flowers. I'm just saying, it's not always. It's literally the reality.
I just don't
need
to say
TV.
Something. You might accidentally say that. So.
Oh, me? No. I'm just saying, on TV, sometimes we romanticize sex so much that sometimes it's not. It's not always that.
I hear what you're saying.
Not us. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
In general. So for me, it was just the norm. He just wanted a quick.
I know what you mean.
That's really it. It was
but it was very aggressive.
I wasn't expecting like, hi baby, and like touch my neck.
He's just been beating up
foreplay.
By his son. His eyes looked like Cosimodo's.
He couldn't even open his
back.
Eyes.
His eyes was like Cosimodo's back, but baby, he just wanted to just go.
He couldn't even see
bang.
Out of his eyes, so maybe that's why.
That he gave him a proper knockout, boy. That
pounded him. Literally, they both did. Oh my gosh, something to me today. All my puns just coming out.
But yeah, it was good to see him, you know. I just want all of them to merge, like Ruby finally find out that Letitia knows all of this, and Letitia knows, because they all just live here separately. And please someone tell me, is Auntie still driving in the woods?
Auntie is lost now. Auntie now needs to be rescued from
somewhere.
Do you
know what I don't like? That there's no, like, so you know how one sit episode, so the next episode is a bit of a continuation from there.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
has never had a continuation.
And next week is not going to be
either. What I was saying
random.
Are we just going to find Auntie in the dungeon? Because
I think there's just
no continuation.
I think
she's gone to Ardham. I think she's gone to Ardham, and
I think
they're going to.
Sorry.
They're gonna have to try and find her. The little girl's gonna be drawing, and listen,
that's
guys, I've been
her.
Saying
no,
it.
Okay, let's see. Find her. The little girl's eyes are gonna be white, and she's gonna be busy drawing. They're gonna be trying to call her name, and it's not gonna work. They've done something to her.
Either that, or the girl's gonna draw, and the drawing's gonna come to life somehow.
The drawing coming to life. You just go.
Come on, guys. Where's the monsters gone? Where's Jumanji that was last week? Come on,
listen.
yeah, I'm looking forward to next week. Finally we get to know about this lady that just keeps coming on the phone going, I told you not to go there. I told you.
Which lady, remind me?
You know, yeah, the Korean, so you know in the first episode when he was daydreaming about a book he wrote.
Oh yes, and then he called.
He called the woman, and the woman goes, "I told you not to go there."
Not to go there.
The
yeah.
woman
also,
that he called at the
yes,
end and said,
yes,
"How did
yes.
you know?" And
quick then, question.
So something. That's why I keep saying, going back to what I said in previous episodes, that I feel he knows more than he knows about his powers. He knows more than he's letting on. And this woman that he's met in the past,
it
also
hasn't
been. Is gonna. She has
yeah.
some form of powers as well.
Quick,
so she yeah.
quick question: who is the woman he keeps daydreaming about in the fire?
That's his great.
Because she keeps turning around and just looking at him. And
she's
then...
saying something that he can't hear. So
yeah,
slowly
yeah.
but surely we will know what she's actually saying. Because that's a spirit. That's a spirit.
Yes.
So she's definitely telling him something and is warding. I feel like she's warding him off finding the truth. And
yeah.
he's not understanding. And him getting burnt, and she was just watching him, was just saying, if you get
if
to where
you're
going
fire,
to
you're going to get burnt.
Exactly. And now we've seen that something spells out D-I-E. Whatever he was trying to translate from the Book of Adam is saying D-I-E.
Yeah.
So it could be die, or it
die.
Could mean something else.
Yeah.
So it could mean that someone he knows has to die, because he was in tears. So it could either mean that he has to kill someone, or someone has to die. And we don't know who. For me, I think it might be Letitia.
She already died though, hasn't she?
It could be the woman then that he was on the phone with that may have to die to be saved, because I don't think he'll cry about him dying that much.
No, and she's already died, so to die to kill her again, it's not going to be an element of surprise.
Yeah,
she's been dead already.
Oh, we'll see where it goes. But yeah, I really like this episode.
Yeah, yeah, it's my favorite so far.
I'm looking forward to the next episode. It looks as exciting.
Yeah. What I do appreciate is that you can't predict what's coming next. That's what keeps you watching it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I really do hope that, like, there's some sort of, it is consistent, but there's some sort of link between, I feel like, in a weird way, you don't need to watch episode one. Like, if you just started from, if you started Lovecraft Country from episode 5, you could kind of get it and continue on watching. But I kind of want it to be a show whereby you actually have to watch episode 1 to understand what's going on throughout. But because the shows are so disjointed, so to speak, they don't follow on consistently in sync, that you don't necessarily need to watch episode 1 to kind of get
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
going
yeah, yeah.
I think you
but
still
I
need to
like
watch
you'd want,
bits,
you'd need
though.
To want to, because
yeah.
it's so random that you'd want to not miss anything.
I think you still need to watch bits of
it.
It
might all make sense.
For 5, you might not understand the concept of what they're
yeah.
looking for and why they're looking for it and what happened.
Definitely. You would definitely think, what the hell is this show?
You will get a bit lost. Yeah, I think you will get a little bit lost. But I do get where you're coming from. But anyway, we'll see.
Anyway, so that was Lovecraft Country, episode 5. But now, let's get into They Say It's a Big Rich Town. Yeah. I just come from the poorest part.
You sound like Trey Songz version. I sound like the original.
No, you don't, babe. No, you don't, babe. I tell you that much. No, you don't.
I gotta make
Power Book 2 Ghost. So, guys, if you don't know, you gotta know. Power Book 2 is the second installment should we say, of the phenomenal show that is Power, that starred people like Naturi,
Murray Hardwick,
and some others, to say the least. And now this is a continuation of Power, whereby we see that Mr. St. Patrick's wife has been accused of his murder and she's in prison. And I guess the whole premise of this show is us probably finding out whether she's going to go down for his murder or not. We see his son, who is now the main character, or he's the main male lead in the show, trying to help his mom, trying to do what he needs to do to get her out of jail and people stop and from people to stop thinking that she killed the dad. And the themes are all exactly the same as how it was in Power: drugs, sex, lies, corrupt police officers, all to speak. In this season, should I say, we've got Mary J. Blige, and we've got Method Man. I can't believe Method Man's real name is Cliff, but
yeah,
I didn't know that. I just know him as Method Man. And we've got some other new characters in the show. We've got our normal Michael Rainey, who's Tariq. We've got Tasha, Naturi Norton, that's her surname, who plays Tasha St. Patrick. Episode 1 and 2, let's get into it. Guys, what did you think of
the
first two episodes?
Because I love Power, it is an adjustment to get used to, but I thought the first episode was quite well done. My only thing is, where Tariq is now the main character, I feel like it's now aimed at a younger audience to watch the show. What? Because that's just my perspective on it, because it's about him being in college, university, they're doing all things related to younger audience, but still related about drugs. This is just what I think, because obviously Tariq is, well, I don't know how old he is in real life, but anyone that's watched Power and then now watches this, it is kind of directed to a younger audience because of Tariq. It's a continuation, yes, but with Tariq being the, I don't know, this is what I think. I don't know if I'm wrong, if you think I disagree, but I think because it's directed more to a younger audience, it shouldn't be as graphic, it shouldn't be as offensive, like using the n-word for me, I can't stand it, but they use it in every other sentence, those things. So I just feel like I wish they'd tailor it more towards younger audience, because it, anyone watching it will be like, oh, he looks like my age, or he looks similar to me. If they haven't watched Power, for example, they then tune in to watch it, and then this is the premise of the show. So that's just more my thinking of it, if you get where I'm coming from. But I think it's good. It's got the potential to be great. For me, what's annoying me as well is the fact that Tariq is a small boy. How is he able to swindle all these adults into believing what he says, or like preaching to them? No, I know, but the way he's preaching to them and they're just like hanging on his word, it's like, yes, it's endearing to them, and they're like, oh damn, how can a young boy talk so much like this? But to me, it's like, come on, which in today's world, which child is speaking like this to adults? And you're just taking it on board.
But he's not a child. He's in uni now, he's like 18 19.
Yeah, but that's young compared to these 40-plus-year-old adults. I know that's who Ghost was, and I know that's his son. I know that's where
they're in age. 18 and 19 ain't that young.
I wish you could be in my brain to see what my thoughts are actually trying to articulate. But
even me, when I was 18, 19, I could speech my parents sometimes. Literally.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's be real. Our children are going to be further along and advanced than we are when we grow up. So they'll be telling us things and we'll be like, I'm smarter than you, but they'll be like, no, actually, you don't know how this works, as in life.
Yeah.
So they can speech us in any way.
Don't say that, shape, please. No.
It's going to happen. You do it to your parents. Our parents did it to your grandparents. True. It's just circle of life.
Yeah.
But that's yeah. Well, that was just my opinion, okay?
No. We're not trying to say that you're wrong. We're just saying that he's a lot older than you. In your head, I think.
I guess I was coming from the younger child perspective, like being black. I could never do that to adults. That was my thinking when I was watching it. That's what makes it a bit unrealistic for me.
You mean being a black African?
Yeah. That's what makes it a bit like, a bit far-fetched. That's what I mean more than...
Really? I don't think so, you know.
Yeah. I don't think
go
so.
Go on, Sharifa.
Yeah, I actually wasn't expecting much of it. I actually even forgot it was coming out. So when I first saw it, I was just like, I'll give it a go and see if it's going to follow in its in the old one's trend. And yeah, I do like it, but I do see where Paulina's coming from. But I don't think it's really aimed at the youngsters. But I do get it. My issue was Tarek. I just can't stand him. I just can't. After episode one, I was just like, yeah, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. I just just something about his acting. I just doesn't sit well with me. It's not believable. He's kind of a bit monotone. Yeah, it's just literally like, all right, yeah, okay. What do you show? It's just so I can't explain it. But after seeing episode two, I thought, okay, he's growing on me a little bit, and I think he actually will get better, if that makes sense. But my star at the moment is Woody.
Who?
Woody, with the comedian that's turned into an actor, Bobby Brown.
I keep calling him Bobby Brown.
Woody, isn't it? Yeah, he's just so good at that type of role. Like, he just embodies it so well, and it's just so weird how
bad boy.
It's just so weird how he went from a comical character on Instagram to now being this bad boy character that is so believable.
Woody? Yeah, is he English?
No, he's American. Oh.
Girl,
he started off as an Instagrammer, comical one, and went on into movies, and he just does it so well. He just does it so well.
He's a very good actor.
Yeah, so I am looking forward to seeing where his character leads. I think him and his mum are gonna have a lot of issues.
Can I ask, what do you think about Mary J. Blige's acting?
I don't like it.
She's just one-dimensional. She hasn't got any facial expressions.
I don't like it. Even that's... Well, it wasn't even a minute sex scene.
That bad.
Sorry, aren't you a Mary fan? So you're going to say that.
Listen, everybody has their talent, yeah? Mary is...
It's a thing in honey.
You know what? She looked like... She looked like, what was her character in Umbrella Academy? She literally, that's who she's playing for me. That is who she's playing for me.
Herself, because she's one diamond. That's her face, that's her everything.
In everything.
I kind of get the feeling, if you could see me, I kind of get the feeling that Mary's just going to break out into the dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
At some point. Yeah, I can't take her seriously. I can take her character seriously, but I feel like she needs to do a bit more like, other than just being like, oh my God, you need to find out who Tariq is. Oh, my son can't know you're here. Yeah, it's just like, so there's nothing else.
Y'all need to find out who Tariq is. Do you know who he is?
There's no other acting other than
that. What do you want, Frank? What do you want? And her face.
That's
like,
literally how she's acting.
I was a bit disappointed by her. It's great to have her on it, but I just feel like there's so many. There's other people that could have done it so well.
Yeah.
Other people, like, if you want to play
like Taraji would have been good.
She would have been so sick of it.
As she would have been good.
She's supposed to be a queen. Is it Queen Ping?
Queen Ping.
And I don't buy it. I'm just like,
I do not. I do. I do. I like the mum-son duo when she's like, handle it. But it's not believable to an extent that I'm like,
Taraji,
yeah.
You're right. I think Taraji would
she would have been
Taraji,
so good.
But Taraji would just be Cookie in it. So that's why she'd Cookie.
No, but she'd be Boys in Blue. Like the way she was like, I hate you to Therese. She would have been like that.
Nah, I think she would have been more Cookie.
I think more of a Cookie. Mary, so far from what I've seen, and this is so, so bad, and Mary J. Blige fans, I'm a fan too, but my best scene from Mary so far is when she stepped out of the house and she was like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, that's a bit that was her first entrance though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then from then on it just went
yeah, I agree, it's a bit flatline.
I actually really like it, I'm not gonna lie. I think Tariq, as much as he is very one-dimensional, I think he's much better in this than he was in Power. I think he's grown. There's something about him that his acting is kind of slightly moved along, but he still plays that his facial expressions is exactly the same. When he's angry, it's exactly the same. I don't know if it's almost like they've got Botox, so he can't frown properly. He can't do something.
He just looks like a spoiled child that's upset.
But then he's just playing the same character.
Yeah.
But I do, for me personally, when I watched Power on its own, I didn't feel anything, but I'm just watching Power. But now watching Power Book 2, for real, I kind of feel Tariq's headaches. I feel, you know, it's stress. You now, you've got to go to school. You've got to try and help your mum. You've got to try and get some money.
He caused all of this, though. So he can be headached.
But that's the thing. This is what guys have to deal with as well.
I feel it. But my whole point is, I'm not saying that he shouldn't experience it or whatever. I'm saying through the show, whether it's his acting or whether it's other people that are surrounding him that are lifting him up, I feel his headache. And I think if you can watch a show and actually feel some sort of emotion, then they're doing something right, in my opinion. And I thought to myself, oh, I'm actually enjoying this. The acting is not bad at all, especially from Michael Rennie's point of view. And Method Man's amazing. I've always had a thing for Method Man anyway.
No, but just clarify,
his acting
is
not bad.
I don't know who that
is. The lawyer.
Oh, right, the okay.
Lawyer.
I wasn't born.
But you don't know Method Man.
That's just my go-to when I don't know someone. I wasn't born. I don't know.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. Girl, you got it.
I know Method Man. I just didn't know who it was. Like, I need to see faces rather than names.
No, but you.
That, we edit this
sorry,
out.
Sorry, sorry.
It ain't happening. The world is going to know.
Oh, child. Really.
Method Man's got that face that if you knew who Method Man was, you would instantly know that was him. If you knew who Method Man was, you would instantly know that was him, girlfriend. Charlie, well, you know, we've got to school you.
I live in Essex, darling. So that was going on.
Okay. So do I. It don't matter. Don't
oh, guys, it. Come on. I'm trying to save myself. You're making it worse.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to more. I'm looking forward to seeing how they can prove or disprove whether or not Tasha, Patrick was a king.
I feel like, what's it? Sax is just going to throw himself under the bus because he's doing too much.
I feel like he needs to throw himself under the bus.
No one respects him. Even his own family don't respect him. What is the purpose of his character?
I don't buy him being the head of whatever he is. I don't
because
buy
how's
nobody
that happen?
Does.
Even the people he works with are like, oh, no one in his life takes him seriously, which is why he's about to kill himself. And it makes sense. But I don't know. It's a bit of a. He's gonna reveal himself soon, and then Tasha's gonna eventually get out of prison, and then it's gonna be like Mary J. Blige and Tasha, like kind of like at war.
Can I ask a question? Thing. What do you guys think Tariq's plan is with Mary and them lot?
To be part of the gang and have security protection.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think
I don't think so.
He's doing too much of like, oh, do you know who's a snitch?
No,
there's two things, and I bet you I know what you're gonna say, Sharifa.
Yeah, go on. No, you go on. You say it.
Because he was doing the research, and then he researched about Lorenzo, and then Mary J. Blige was there. And then they were saying something about double crossing or something along the lines. I think he's going to learn a bit about the family history.
And use it against them.
Not use it against them. Well, A, he could use it against them, but I think he's going to learn a bit about the family history and use it to see if he can help his mum. Because the mum's now saying something about, like, I can't see why the mum would try and throw, what's his name, Tommy, under the bus. And I honestly think that, what's her name, Mary J. Blige put her own man in prison.
That's what I think he's going to use against them.
And that's why she's like trying to find out why they need to know who he is.
I feel like he's going to plant everything on that family in a way. To make it look like... Yeah. To make it look like...
Just met.
To make it look like... He's going to work it because the way he said it, I've got a plan. I don't think he's just going to learn from them because to learn from them, I don't think he'll make it such a big deal to say, oh, mom, I've got a plan. I feel like he's going to use their family in a way, not for security or anything. I feel like he's either going to plant something on them so it looks like it was them doing certain things so it gives the mom reasonable doubt. Or make it look like Mary is the actual Quimping and the mom works for them. He's just going to make it work. Remember, Tariq is a very... Smart boy. He's very smart.
And the guy Lorenzo,
manipulative.
We got to find out what they do. So that guy Lorenzo that's in prison, he's already in prison for life. So I wouldn't even be surprised whether he's going to now use, like you say, now get into the family and then use say that the Lorenzo guy had somebody that came to kill the dad, and then, you know, my mum was scared, this and the other. But Tasha's going to go to prison anyway because she's been lying under oath how many times?
And remember the Frank guy, was it Frank?
Uncle Frank? Probably get the one they always do.
Remember he was in power as well. He was with the Latino gang. So I think that's where his idea came from. When he saw him, he goes, Rod, so there's connections there. So if that uncle used to work for Lorenzo, that means Lorenzo was somehow linked with his dad. So I feel like they're going to channel, Isabel is going to channel everything through there to make it look like Lorenzo's actually ghost. Mm. And the mom, so it kind of creates reasonable doubt to the mom being the kingpin, because then it doesn't make sense for anything ghost to be related to them. Mm. But he's going to work it. And that's why I'm interested to see how he does it.
How he does it,
He's supposed to be as smart as his dad. So he's supposed to be the new ghost, I suppose. Mm.
There's going to be a love triangle, because I think he's going to end up being like his dad in a way, because obviously he's got the girl from uni who's book smart and everything else, and he's got the girl that's street smart that is literally like his mom and what's her name, Angela, that kind of thing. And then he's going to have, like you said, I think there's going to be, one of you said it, but I think there's going to be issues with Mary J. Blige's character and her son, Woody.
Oh, yeah.
And then I honestly think that Tariq and Woody are going to be like the new Tommy and Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At some point in future, because, and then the cycle's just going to continue at some point.
It's not going to work for the white, the guy, I forgot his name, the white guy that he lives with here.
No.
And do you know what another thing I think? I think you're right in the sense that he's going to have the same thing that his dad, but as the season gets to an end, he's going to understand his dad more and more and more.
Yeah, exactly.
And like he's going to regret killing his dad, because then he's going to understand. Because even now, I feel like he's slowly understanding the decisions the dad is making. He's going to be like, "Raw, I actually shouldn't have killed my dad." He actually made those decisions because he was a small boy. He was just.
But don't forget, they always set it up so you hate the person that's about to die. So every scene was like everyone cussing ghost.
I love ghost.
There's no power about ghosts, but I mean every scene when he was about to be shot was, oh, Tommy was turning his back on him at one point, the mom was turning his back on him, and then obviously Tommy realized and like forgave him, whatever. But it was setting up to the point where everyone was like, oh, don't trust ghost, and then for everyone to hate him, and it's a who killed ghost type thing. That's more.
You're talking about the characters for everyone in the show to hate him.
Yeah, so that's why Tariq was like, for the show to hate him. That's why Tariq was getting so angry, and then he decided to go and kill him, which is, it's not, there's no basis for why he killed his own dad. But
can we talk about how much the Tate Modern is the most annoying little man? I call him the Tate Modern.
His character is annoying. He's just that annoying. Why is he back?
Guy, always in a suit, and I just feel like he's just one of those annoying guys with smelly breath.
Actually, have a job.
Comes around. He just comes around. Everybody.
But do you know who's annoying to me? The white guy. I can't remember his name. That's like always trying to use their race against them type thing. Trying to tell Tariq that he doesn't go to school.
The rich guy. What's his name?
Spencer. What's his name? I want to say Spencer, but his name's not Spencer.
Oh, they said his name quite a few times as well. Yeah,
I know. He's really bad.
He just pops up with his money and his checkbook.
And you're black. That's literally all he says in his
scene. You're a black boy.
If you want to get a hair, if you want to get a head.
He does it so well.
Yeah, do you know who else's character annoys me? That is Blanca. I was hoping I wasn't seeing her this series, but she's back. But she's coming to testify, so hopefully she'll save Tasha at some point as well, because she's going to counteract what Sax is saying.
I don't know. I just try and get Sax.
Because everything Sax, because she would respond. They'd ask her a question, she's answering the question, and Sax will cut her off. But the judge in the room isn't contesting facts. That's not realistic,
but that's how it is. Is it mediation, or I forgot what it's called when they do this before they go you have to stick to the exact questions. She doesn't want to hear anything more. You will expand on it in court. It's supposed to just be is it this question, yes or no. So really she's not there, because then the jury have to hear all of the extra bits
When she goes to court, just make sure you put me on the stand.
This is the way she talks. I'm just like,
wasn't she also at the end of Power trying to work with Sax? to.
Yeah, but Zach was dirty. Zach is dirty.
Yeah, but even when he was dirty, no, but even when he was dirty, she was still trying to work with him. She knew he was dirty, but she was still trying to work with him.
Yeah, because she thought it could save both of them and get Ghost, didn't it? And then she got slapped. She got practically
promoted.
She got punched, and he got a promotion. Well, so of course she's gonna hate him. Like, she's gonna hate him. But yeah, we'll see. I just want to be honest. Sex is the most. He's always annoyed me.
Yes. From get-go, yeah.
Acting like a preppy rich boy, and he had his character of I want justice. I've never believed. I've just thought he just likes to get his way. He's a
just want a promotion and get money and prove his family wrong.
He started off like
he's rich.
That.
He's a preppy boy that just wants his way.
I think he started off with getting justice, and then he realized through everything that he couldn't get justice
without
being a little bit corrupt. And then the power and the fame, hence the show Power, got to his head. And then he started doing things
legitimately. I honestly just think with Sax, he's a spot preppy boy that always has been stumbled on by his siblings, and he just wants to continuously prove a point. They're all in that field,
and no
so word gets
him.
Round no one respects him. So I just feel like him getting a win, him trying to get Ghost, him, everything he's ever done in his career just is to show his family and say, haha, see, I'm not the stupid,
how I miss
stupid
something.
Boy,
how have you guys got this backstory about Sax's family?
Because they had a scene. They had a dinner where they were calling him Valerie. And
even in the past, people have insinuated and said to him that, like, you're just a prep. He's a preppy. And even his character and his demeanor, the way he's acted in the past.
Even
Angela
the guy he worked
out.
With.
Angela's called
the
him
the Asian guy.
Oh, yeah,
that's
said as well, that like about. Just because of your family. So they've said it in the past so many times, like, and you could tell in his character and the way
he resents it so much, so like, he's forcing it.
I don't know, he just gives off that preppy vibe. So I've always known before it was even said, when he was working with the first guy, what's his name, the one that got killed, Angela's this is season one.
Oh yeah, 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 Angela's
ex-boyfriend. Remember he even said it as well, like, he's a preppy boy, he's prep. So I feel like his whole let me win is just to prove to his family that he is a good prosecutor. That's really it. So but now I think he's dug himself in such a big hole that I feel like sometimes he wants out, but at the same time, he can't get out.
He's stuck,
He's stuck. He needs to prove a point that he
Now he's got so far deep into it, and it's going to get worse because of the lies he's telling now, that now he's going to just have to... He's going to either shoot himself in the foot and reveal himself, he is.
He can't even leave, because if Tasha wasn't arrested, I feel like he may have just quit his job and not been in it anymore. Because he's now got a saving grace. He's not getting arrested. But I feel like because Tasha's in, he just feels like he has to be there to keep the lies going so they don't say something and then get him in trouble again.
That's because Tariq's threatening. It's because Tariq's threatening to... Yeah, it might happen to him, actually, Tariq actually coming through with the whole threat.
Because they're holding on to it till they have to drop it. What's the point in showing your best card?
Because he said, I'm going to tell them if you don't do this. And then he did it. He didn't do what he said he would do. And Tariq said nothing.
I feel like they're holding
coming,
it. They're waiting for the moment to drop it.
Yeah, we're on episode two, man. They can't be dropping all the gems right now. Yeah. Show be done.
Fair enough.
Anyway, we're all excited to see what's going down in Power Book Two. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. So, guys, this week was the beginning of the 6 people rule, indoor and outdoor. The government have said that due to Corona, due to Mrs. Rona or Mr. Rona, they can't mingle and shingle and do whatever without more than 6 people. And they are encouraging, can you imagine? They are encouraging your neighbors to come and call police on you if you have more than 6 people in your house. Priti Patel was also interviewed this week on ITV, and she was asked, are you encouraging people to call the police on their neighbours if they decide to have 6 or more people in their house? And Priti Patel was like, I think it's up to you to have a judgment call. And the news lady was like, are you encouraging
people to stop your neighbours in?
Yeah. And Priti Patel is like, as I said before, we have to follow the guide. Basically, she was not answering the question. What do you feel about this? We all know it doesn't make sense, but what do you feel about this thing where your neighbours could potentially dob you in for having more than six people in your household.
I think the rule is absolutely ridiculous. How does one weekend make a difference from another? And how has, like, all this time that's gone by, what was it, from how many people to 30 people, back to six? And then they're blaming the young people for creating that, increasing the numbers, but you also let the young people go out. Like, they don't know what they're doing. They really don't know what they're doing. And they should just say that rather than doing all of this.
I think they're just trying to try out a lot of things.
They're trying to control everyone.
If you think about it, the flu season is coming. And I've seen it quite a few times already that
winter is coming.
Exactly, winter is coming. So I feel like they're trying to nip certain things in the bud. And because the weather is nice, people are gathering quite a lot. People are having more than 30. People are not reporting. So I feel like them saying it now and saying it's illegal, you could actually get into trouble. You could actually get fined. It's making people rethink having that. But for me, I just feel like if you're going to restrict, you can't pick and choose what you restrict.
Yeah,
but yeah, exactly. Allow the whole school years to be coming in.
Honestly.
People are getting, teachers are in the classroom with over 30 students sometimes. So it's like, what are you actually doing to restrict all those things? What are you doing to implement?
Doesn't even make sense.
I do understand schools do have social distancing. There is all of that.
There
isn't. But it's...
The kids... So the first day, my son saw his friend, he hugged them. But even though there's a social distancing queue in terms of dropping your kids off and there's a system, nobody is following the social distancing. People are still talking, hanging outside the school gates, standing next to each other. And obviously, we've all been at home for so long. So like the first few days, everyone has had some sort of cold symptom because they've been around each other, because they've not been away. They've not been around each other for so long that they've come back together and now everybody's ill. So it's going to get worse as the winter comes, because it doesn't make sense. Because
that's why they're trialing each thing. So obviously they can't get us to all go back to full lockdown. The economy won't survive. So everything is done in stages. I do feel like in the next couple of weeks, a lot of things will change. I don't know about schools, but I know a lot of things are going to be more and more restricted. That's why I feel like if you're going to restrict things, put it into implementation what you're going to restrict. Give people a calendar. Make sure people are aware so that people can plan. Like, just plan. Do you get what I mean? So if you're going to say, all right, September the 15th, was it? It's only six people. In the next 2 weeks, the next restriction. So at least I know, okay, in the next 2 weeks, the next restriction is going to be this. So it just puts everything in stages and the economy won't suffer as much as they think it would.
But the six people thing is, in my opinion, I think we echo everybody else's thoughts, is ridiculous because I can still go out to eat. And when I go out to eat, I will still be amongst so many people. And restaurants have rules that if your venue permits it, that you can have a social distance a meter apart. I've been out in restaurants whereby the tables are literally close to one another. So if I can go out to eat, which is more hazardous because there are so many other people from so many other households in the same venue.
And
the waiters are serving food. Why can't I go cook my own food and allow
your friends to come and join you?
Certain people to come and join me. And that could be our bubble. Those could be your bubble. It really doesn't make sense. I mean, I get it. I was speaking to a family member and they were saying one of the reasons why they don't want more than six people in the households is because when you're amongst your friends and your family, you don't observe social distancing anyway, because you just automatically think that's my girl, that's my family, that's my friend, that's my family. So you're always hugging, you're always around each other and all sorts of things. So when you're out and about, you're less likely to be hugging up and doing things because you're out and about, hence why they put the restrictions on households. And I guess it makes sense to a degree. Well, your neighbors can police your household these days now.
And there are some nosy people.
I'm telling you.
Especially Karens, but yeah, we won't talk about that.
Yeah.
They've made their day, they've made their year by telling them they can tell their name, you can tell them your neighbors.
You know, the minute you start blowing out music, the Karens are opening your doors.
How many people in your house?
Police officer said, can I come in, please? Like, why? Because we've got reports.
We have reports.
People in here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad. We've spoken about COVID and the government and all this over the pod for many episodes now. But it's just sad that there's no clarity. There's no, it's sad that everything that they put in, I get it's for the safety of the nation, but it doesn't make any sense. And if the government would just be slightly more transparent in regards to the disease and everything else, then a lot of things would make sense, and then a lot of people can make informed decisions for themselves how they're gonna proceed. But it's
sad. Can I just say, if they obviously are preparing for winter to come, why aren't they going to lock down from now? Not that we want to, but I'm just saying, if you want because to prevent
the economy will suffer.
But it's suffering anyway. So what, are you really caring about people's welfare, or are you just caring about the money? Like,
it'll get worse, and mental health as well. People can't, there's certain people that actually will not mentally and physically survive another lockdown. There's so many vulnerable people out there that won't.
Yeah, no, I hear that aspect of it. But I'm just saying, if they're really trying to prevent it, those would be the next steps. Sure.
But I also think that come winter, we're gearing up to Christmas and stuff like that. They're probably trying to put things in place, like Sharifa said, so that you get the R rate down, so that we can all come together for Christmas. After Christmas, then something else will happen, because I don't think the government are really be happy about not being with their loved ones at Christmas. So I guess everything is one of those. It's one of those things, isn't it? Let's do things now so people can enjoy Christmas, and then after Christmas, then we can step it up again.
Gosh, but as we all know, Christmas and stuff over Zoom.
Listen,
I need a Christmas. I'm sorry, that's one of my seasons, especially with children, that I just need to just be as normal as possible. Is it sad that I've already gone and bought one of my sons their Christmas present?
That's because that.
I'm trying to prevent, if there is a lockdown and like any shops close, bro, I don't want to be doing that.
Amazon's there. Amazon was still delivering.
So I got this, basically my youngest loves being in our kitchen, so I've gone and bought him a miniature kitchen, and I'm going to paint it and like get all the fruits and stuff, so he can, that'll be his Christmas present. But if I can't get to IKEA if it's closed, I can't do that.
You get it delivered.
No, darling, not the same. It'll take how long to get a delivery from IKEA?
You never know.
Why are you laughing at me?
To be honest, anyway, be prepared. It's better to be prepared.
We've got two topics that are quite similar. Two topics that we want to talk about. Two topics that are always dear to our hearts. And they're all centered around Black Lives Matter. The first one is that our beloved dance troupe, Diversity, did a wonderful performance of The Signs of the Times, centering around Black Lives Matter. And the ITV received 10 million. How much?
10 million?
22,000. I was seeing 10,000. Complaints. Mm-hmm. Because of dancing and the fact that these are the things that are happening in our life. Like,
you didn't even say anything.
Are British people so blind to the fact that there is racism in this country that they cannot
see? They just don't want to hear it or see it or feel it or talk about it because they feel awkward. So they're offended by the mere fact that it's a topic of discussion because they themselves aren't racist. But potentially they are.
Fact that you're complaining to the ITV to say this shouldn't be shown, or why did they show it, or whatever. That's, for me, that
it's
racism
in itself. Yep.
You, all you want to see is the fairies and cupcakes and be happy. But we are living in a world where everyone, where people come from all races, and there is a hot topic right now, and it's something that is real that's happening. Even what's it called? I was going to say FIFA, but FIFA's football. What is the driving... what are they called? The driving... Lewis Hamilton.
Formula One.
Formula One. Yeah. They also wanted to penalise Lewis when he won his... when Lewis Hamilton won his race, he had a T-shirt that said, "Arrest the cops that murdered Breonna Taylor." They wanted to now come
investigate
and discipline him and either give him a fine or ban him from a race because
They were investigating it. Can you imagine?
They were investigating it because they were saying they were saying it because he is entering into politics. So they were trying to decide whether or not that was a political statement that he was making with that t-shirt, and then they were going to either fine him or ban him from a race.
And let's thinking, call that politics. He wore a t-shirt.
Well, it is political to a degree, isn't it? Because with the police officers haven't been arrested, and it's down to unions and governments and other people in high places to go and arrest these cops that murdered Brianna. But I'm just like, really? Like, okay,
it's pathetic.
If a white person had done that, would it have been such a big thing to go and investigate?
If it was a white woman killed by police to that degree, it would have been investigated and finished.
No, I'm not talking about Breonna Taylor. No,
but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So for it to even be getting to this point where people are trying to do things in their own way and with their own power, and it's an issue, is what I'm saying. Like, it's mad. If it was anybody else, it would have been case closed. But
it is very sad. And I know this is going to sound very insensitive, but it is very sad when you've got people, Madam McCain, how many years?
And 18 million or however much money spent on her
investigation.
She's still missing. She's still missing. And the parents have paid off their mortgage. Parents have been doing the most, but we're still here just for what?
It's getting all the press. There's always a documentary here and there.
And do you remember how they came out and found her during the peak of the whole racism row or whatever? They would, but now we've not heard anything again.
You mean found the murder
evidence? Yeah, something like that. Whatever they said they did.
To be honest, like this whole penalizing people that are living their truth. These are both, like with Lewis Hamilton, forget the race part of it, that yeah, he's a black. He's just trying to get justice for someone that has been killed. Like, why is that? Why does that have to be such a political statement that these people are saying, yes, they need to fine him?
It's so inhumane.
Like, it's are you serious? If that was one of your children, would you be sitting there? At the end of the day, as Polina said, if that was one of their children, by now the investigation would be closed.
Mm-hmm. Even like someone in America, I think someone shot a police officer in the head and saw another in the jaw. Donald Trump was like, this needs to be investigated now. They need to be arrested immediately.
Didn't you see what happened?
That's his energy.
About those two police officers. Someone leaked a picture of an innocent black guy, business black guy, and said it was him. And his whole life has been turned upside down this last week.
I didn't
week.
See that.
He's been getting
but that was, that's what I'm saying.
He's been getting so...
What happened, Sharifa?
The two police officers that got killed, someone leaked a picture of a black guy and said he is the suspect that the police have arrested.
But it wasn't him.
And it wasn't him. Someone just got his passport, his picture, driving license picture, and circulated around Facebook.
That's
so
terrible.
The county police department had to release a statement saying they have no suspects or any leads yet. But his life has been, and he was saying he's got two daughters. He's scared to even take them to school or to be associated with them at the moment because he's been getting death threats because That's of sad. People saying, oh, you've killed police officers, whatnot. And he's like, I haven't had anything to do with it. I wasn't even there at all. Hmm. It's just sad. People just misinformation. And then retweet, Twitter fingers. People just retweet.
I hate social media for
this
that.
Is why it's very important to know, to just get your sources right. Like, Don't listen to other people and then say it as gospel or retweet it. If you see something that you feel like, oh yeah, it needs a voice, make sure you research it before you actually repost or retweet it, because you could be actually doing more damage.
People have killed themselves over things like that, especially when they've been innocent.
So imagine if this guy got killed by other police officers, or someone called a police officer just to say,
they found him,
they found him. And you know how these police officers are, some of
shoot first, ask later.
Like, this guy's got two kids, so he would have innocently died, and then it'll be another Breonna Taylor case where he's not getting any justice. So there's a lot of sensitivity out there in the world at the moment, and I just pray for every young black man, and to be honest, I pray for anyone out there, especially the young black men in America, because
it must be very
scary sending your son out in these times to do anything.
My kids aren't going nowhere if I lived in America. Even now, they're not going anywhere here too, but still. It's a lot. But
where are they going at 5 and 2, mate?
But I'm just, I keep, 5 and 1. I keep imagining them as like 18-year-old men. I can't
take it.
I think we are living in a world now where racism is so boring, in your face, mm-hmm. that people are people that where racism doesn't affect you, those people are literally avoiding it and pretending mm-hmm. that it doesn't exist, to the point where you can be so brazen enough to just go and, you know, make a complaint, or you can be brazen enough to think, oh, we need to investigate this because there are rules against political messages and things like that. It's really, 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 it's really sad. And I know this is nothing new and we go on, but where it's now so obvious and you're like, you're living amongst people that are going to pick up the phone and complain, you know, and don't be fooled. Some of those people, whether we like it or not, could be our colleagues,
our neighbors,
could be our neighbors. And you just don't know. And
I know it's exactly a scary what they're saying thought. As well. They're like, I'm fed up of it. I don't want to see it anymore. That's exactly the conversation they're having.
It's really, really frightening to think that,
you know,
you're living in a world that you can't even really fully be comfortable around somebody else that is not from your community, because you don't know whether they are, they can say what they want to say to your face, mm-hmm. but you don't know whether they are really, really riding for you or not.
You know what someone said to me at work, and I'm putting myself out there. So I was having a conversation with someone at work, and she said to me, I just don't understand all of this Black Lives Matter stuff. I do get it, but there's a place and a time for everything. The COVID thing could just be rising. They all went out in full force marching and, you know, doing all
I
of
had
that.
The same debate, but, and I had to lock her off.
There's a time and place. I said to her, when would have been the time and place?
Honey.
Because it's happened now. Did the COVID numbers rise? No. So tell me when's the
did time they rise place. When you were at the beach? No.
And she just said to me, oh yeah, I get what you mean, but I'm just still frightful of how many people. I just said to her, look, at the end of the day, schools are open now. Are you telling me that's going to make anything rise? So again, it doesn't make sense what you've just said, when people are actually marching for a reason. And people are actually risking themselves going out there to march for a cause. So you saying there's a time
and they're passionate about it because they're affected by it. And their children are affected by it.
Is there a time and place to kill a Black person? Hmm. Okay. When you can answer that, you can let me know.
I had the same debate with this girl because she was like putting on her, someone I went to school with, just boldly just talking rubbish, saying that, oh, it's really irresponsible when you've got parent people that are dying and they can't even see their relatives and stuff like that. How dare people go and march? It's going to make the second wave come. This second wave still hasn't come, but they keep talking about it. But they're blaming it on the Black Lives Matter march. Mm. And it just, I can't talk about this. I'd like you guys know, I can't. It just doesn't sit right with my soul, and it starts making me feel angry, and I don't want to be feeling like that. And it just...
Well, our last topic is going to get you angry as well, but we'll talk about it. And it's on the same topic, guys. Prince John Boyega, well, he's a king, however you want to describe him.
Who's
John Boyega?
Whose king is he?
He's a man.
I know he's my king.
Yeah. he's a man, right? He can't really be a prince because he's a man, so he's a Black king. He did an advert for Jo Malone. Jo Malone are a candle and scent company, for those of you who don't know. They make bloody good candles, by the way, and their scents are...
So yeah, here goes Bruggetto again.
Hold on.
By the way.
They do make lovely candles.
My friend.
So do Aldi. I've bought some candles from Aldi.
You had to throw that brand in there, didn't she?
sorry, but like, I don't get the Bruggetto. I'm not telling people to go anyway.
They make
Malone.
Some bloody lovely candles.
They do, guys.
Somebody's touchy.
When it's your birthdays, guys, and you want me to buy,
I love it. I like a citrus.
I like
smell.
A bit of
thank
Tom
you.
Ford.
Yeah,
so.
Right. A £60 candle. I would be doing that for you, okay?
Oh, you're so
right.
cute. Well, right. My birthday's gone and I didn't receive...
A special birthday.
My little thing about really expensive candles is you're going to burn it. It's going to go.
I know, I don't get it. Go. Yeah. My friend like spends money on candles.
Depending on where you go.
I would spend it on perfume.
Yeah. As a candle. £22.
Yeah, but you don't get the same scent. And sometimes some cheap candles, when you burn them, they don't actually smell. But when you burn a lovely candle.
She's a cheap honey.
Jo Malone or Rituals, you can smell the smell.
I'll spray a perfume on my wrist and just leave that near my nose.
Okay. Also, some candles, they come in really nice pots, not necessarily Jo Malone, but they come in really nice pots to the point that when the candle wax is gone, you can reuse those pots for your plants, you can reuse those pots for anything else.
Yeah,
so you get a lot for what you pay for sometimes. Anyway, John Boyega was supposed to be an ambassador for Jo Malone. He had recorded a video for them, and I think this was going to be their marketing video that was going to be used across the globe and or the Chinese market. Anyway, when they then went to pitch it, or they've done, I don't know what they did, but then they replaced Jo Malone. They replaced John Boyega.
It was about his story, his life in London, Chinese guy. Yeah,
with a Chinese guy, and they then aired it out in China without even telling John, who put his time and effort to do this video.
No, can I say, the reason why he's offended is because the premise of the video was built around John's life.
No, Polina.
That's what he said on his post.
Yeah, but he wasn't just upset about that. They've replaced him.
That's what I'm saying. So he was annoyed for the fact they replaced him, but you're still using the concept of everything he's learned based on his life.
That's what he was saying.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a bit of both. Either way, he's pissed.
The fact of the matter is, you then use a Chinese man. So you basically you stole from John. Jo Malone stole from John. You made him do the work, and then you put somebody that was more desirable to that country to be the face.
That was the point.
And it's disgusting. And you're a major brand. And right now, we are talking about Black Lives Matter. Everyone's talking about Black Lives Matter. You go to major companies, and they're now looking for Black people to come and front their goods because they don't want to be seen as being racist, or they don't want to be seen as not supporting. And you've had this opportunity, and you've then gone and be like...
China don't care. So for me, I get what you're saying about the whole John Malone, everyone looking for Black people to come in. China don't care about Black Lives Matter at the moment. They don't.
But you know what? It's not about China.
Exactly. But you know what? For me, it's not. I'm not saying it's right what the brand did, but I see why they did it in somewhere like China, because China don't care. Then
that's not their market. They don't see Black people like that.
Don't do it there then. But again, they're a major company. And
they won't lose money if they don't. They won't lose money if they didn't do it in China. They would not have lost money. One small country. Jo Malone, I do believe Jo Malone is an American company. You do not need China. You do not need China.
China owns a lot of stuff, so that's probably why they did.
No, but China, you can break the market into China, but you don't need them. You're already successful.
Yeah, right? What I'm saying is China's in everything, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of private deal somewhere where they had to use China. That's what I'm saying.
No, I don't think it's anything like that. I think Jo Malone is a British company, and they just want to go and market the thing in China. I don't think there's any ties with China like that, any business ties, other than I want to market my product in China. And obviously, you know, there is a saying that, you know, Black people are not necessarily welcome. Well, so it's not even a saying. In China and in Hong Kong, they were beating Black people and not allowing them in shops. So the Chinese people, to some degree, do not like
during
Black people.
COVID, especially, were not helpful during
they the blame Black Lives us Matter. For COVID.
They blame Black people. It was really awful there for a lot of Black people. So for me, if they had told John Boyega that they were going to market there and they were going to remove him, he would have probably not even wasted his time to tell them the backstory, and probably told them to get someone else to do it. Because again, I feel his pain. I'll be pissed because, as both of you said, it's my work. It's about my experience. It's something personal to me that I put into your work, and you've decided to go and give it to someone else. No.
But this is where we need the allies. And, you know, you can't say that your company, and I guess in the height of Black Lives Matter, I don't know whether Jo Malone put out a statement or whatever. I mean, they're perfume and scent company, so I don't see why they would. But if you're going to be an ally or want to be an ally, you've got to do it full front. If the Chinese market said they didn't want John, then you just said that, bye. Your shares price is not going to go down because you're
because China makes so much money.
But that's it doesn't matter. I get where he's coming from.
I hear what you're saying as well, but I'm saying that would never happen.
But if they put their foot down and said no, there will come a time where China will be begging them for it.
Exactly.
Because they know that it will be good for their economy. They will beg for it.
So. And the Chinese take, as much as Chinese are rich and they're very good at their crafts, but they take everything from other cultures. They're so good at dancing hip-hop, they're so good at doing afrobeats, they're so good at singing, they're so good at so many other things. They take to a degree, but then when it comes to actually having other cultures on your TV screens or having other cultures advertised, you don't want it.
But my issue, it doesn't make sense. They watch all the movies. They watch Star Wars.
Star Wars.
You watch it. You appreciate him in there. You appreciate him in what was the other thing he was in? The fighting one. I forgot. But he was in something else that was did quite well in America, in China. You know, the ones where they had to attach themselves to really big robots, RIM.
Pacific Rim.
He was in the second one, and it went really well there. So for me, you watch these black people on your TV screens, you love a lot of these black actors, you love Denzel Washington, you love all these people, you love Will Smith, but yet you can't watch an advert with that same actor in it. So sometimes I feel like it's a bit higher up, because if they had just shown John Boyega in the advert in China, it probably would have still sold. Sold because he's the actor. Yes, he's black, but he's the actor that they all probably love as well. They all know. But if it was just a random
stand up
black,
and do what's right. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? All you have to do is stand up and do what's right. Because of money, you're now going to be like, okay, this wasn't negligence. This was pure, all right. These people want.
They probably thought the hype of it is going down now, so they can get away with it.
The fact they did a bit, but it wasn't even a different advert. At least do a different advert. Do a different advert, and it wouldn't have been taken that badly. But the fact that him on a horse, you've got a Chinese man on a horse, you've got him at a table.
I disagree with that comment.
No, but come on. It would have been less offensive. If you think about it, there's three different types of Marks and Spencer's adverts all around the world. There's three different Audi. Well, not Audi.
I know what you mean.
There's different adverts everywhere. Yes. So if they had done a totally different storyline, it's totally different. It would just be another.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
John Malone advert. It wouldn't have been anything else. There's the fact that they've done scene by scene and just replaced someone else.
I'll be pissed.
I'm sorry.
You would be, especially if it's your work. That's like someone. Oh, let me see your work, and they just change it into their own words. But it's
what
literally
kind of
your work.
What plagiarism is this, man?
Yeah, it's true. You're actually absolutely right. But John, as always, we are supporting you, Black brother. Good luck. All other endeavors are going to come your way. So you've got nothing to worry about. You don't need to be an ambassador for Jo Malone. Let me know if you want me to stop buying the candles.
Teresa. not Teresa, Sharifa.
Well, all I know is let me know if you want to be an ambassador for a Becca Duke. I'm hiring.
Okay. She's plugging.
okay, girl. Mm-hmm. So, that's it, John. We love ya. Keep doing what you're doing.
Keep being the king that you are, man. We appreciate it.
So, guys, that brings us to the end of our episode. We hope you've enjoyed. If you have any recommendations on films, programs, anything that you think we should be watching and discussing, please send us a DM or an email. And we will be back with you another episode next week. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, we did that in harmony. Bye.
That's not harmony. The music.
Bye, guys.
Bye.